You know, I have a hard time imagining that if a black director walked in and pitched Marriage Story about two black people, same story, by the way, just switch out Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson with Sterling K. Brown and Lupita, or Yaya and Lupita. I think it would be a heck of a lot harder to get that movie made. And people are like, well, how can you say that the Academy has these problems when Moonlight won Best Picture? Just because Moonlight won Best Picture doesn't mean that it didn't have to overcome more obstacles than its peers that were not about black people in order to win. You know, I can start Usain Bolt 10 meters behind a 100-meter dash line, and he may still win the race, but that doesn't mean he didn't start 10 meters behind the starting line.
Send a link.
Welcome to Send a Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison, my co-captain, co-pilot, and co-attention seeker, DJ. Why you need the love, man?
I'm thirsty.
For a claim?
No, like I'm legitimately thirsty right now.
Oh, you parched off, man?
Yeah, I just drank over the water. Yeah.
Gotta take care of yourself, man. It's important.
Yeah.
Self-love, self-care.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm human just like the rest of us, so we all want positive reinforcement by our environs.
Yes, and freaking out the good words.
Particularly other people, I guess.
Yes.
Like, there's only so much positive reinforcement you can get from, like, a flower.
Oh, or yourself.
Yeah, you need those likes.
Exterior validation. It's delicious. You know why I bring this up, DJ?
Why?
Because there's a lot of, validation or the idea of awards
and
championships and things like that floating around this time of year.
Yeah, that seems to happen. Now that you say that, year takes over. We get into award season. We get into championship season.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch collegiate unpaid football these past couple days?
NFL juniors.
And NFL junior coming this weekend on CBS.
Right. I did.
You did?
Yeah, I wasn't there. Not. I wasn't there like our president. But
oh, he was there? Yeah. He was hanging out?
Yeah, he was there. It was him.
I didn't hear much outrage about like his appearance. Did he stay in the box? He didn't do no wild shit like they put him on camera and he pointed?
I don't know. Hopefully it wasn't. Hopefully it didn't get played up into too much of a controversy or, you know, just him and his presence in mainstream popular culture. But I think he learned his lesson from the few World Series appearances he had.
Oh, yes.
Where he got, like, profusely booed and chanted
at. Lock him up. All that.
But he probably was in more friendly territory. Being that it was in the middle of the South for college football.
Was it in New Orleans, the game?
Yeah, it was.
Really home turf for LSU, huh?
Right.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, but you didn't watch?
No. College football is something I do not follow. And this is not like a thing where I don't like it. It's one of those things where it's so fluid, so changing. Yeah. And also, you know, the corruption and then all the, like, the shifting in the way the leagues are made. I'm not going to care. So I know, I've heard The new heat is some glorious white boy named Joe Burrow. He's the hot shit, and I saw him smoking cigars and whatnot, and I was like, oh, that's fire.
Yeah, he's like legal. He's a graduate.
He's a grown ass man, yeah, right? He's like 28.
Damn near. Yeah, he was a graduate transfer.
Oh.
Yeah, they relaxed a lot of the rules, apparently, in college sports because after external pressures.
Corruption.
Results of that corruption. And a lot of big stars, particularly big quarterbacks, have transferred schools as of in recent memory and have found success at other large programs. I believe Joe Burrow came from another large big school.
Was it Ohio State?
Yeah, OSU.
Nobody wanted him.
Or he was, you know, trapped behind the back end of a depth chart.
Couldn't get a minute on the field.
Right, so he's like, fuck it, I'll transfer to LSU. Got up under my new spirit animal, Coach O. Ed Ogeron, have you heard this nigga speak?
Is he like wild drunk or some shit? I don't know.
He just is like he's a different type of.
Is he like he's a character from The Waterboy?
Yes, I'm right. Mixed with that, but he has a KG energy. I would say.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's hype.
Matter of fact, speaking of, he's hype. Okay, for one, he's one of those type of people make you feel like you'll run through a wall for him. So it's great that he's a. He coaches young men in this college gladiator sport. But apparently, okay, this is all you need to know about this man. He was giving a pregame speech and was so hyped, so jazzed up that he started flinging his arms around and swung his hands and punched himself in the head and caused a pretty noticeable cut on his forehead.
I love it.
Yeah, it's live.
I'll run into a wall for you, dog.
Yeah, man.
Hype me up.
Listen to this man talk one time. You're going to be like, yeah, I'm with it. I'm going to LSU. Fuck Nick Saban.
But my favorite part about this whole thing, two things. Obviously, Trump we talked about, which was great. You saw Drew Brees' son hanging over his shoulder staring at him.
I did see somebody make this.
That's your man? That's your man? I thought you was my father.
The disgust.
It's like, who's more mad, him or Tariq from Powers? Like, she's like, fuck you, dad. And also, the flagrancy of Odell Beckham giving the players money on the field after the game.
Hey, man.
I love it. First of all, it's done, right? They're finished. here's $100,000 or whatever.
Right. You know, 20% of y'all going to the league anyway the next season.
Doesn't matter. No importa.
Yeah, the NFL factory, man. Like, what the fuck? Like, this shit.
Come on, man. Let's take off this.
I don't even know what to say.
The veneer of this foolishness. All right.
Yeah, man. Like, we exalt and appreciate the league and the sport. And what happens on the field, but all the shit that happens outside of it is a sham when it comes to college sports.
I mean, of course, man. Yeah. I don't want to belabor this too much because I do want to talk about other more vain and important competitions.
Okay, is that why you didn't watch? Because you were focused on other competitions?
Or? No, I didn't watch because I have a short attention span. Oh. Yeah, that's basically it.
For sports? I find that hard to believe.
College football? That's behind NFL football, which is behind NBA basketball, which is behind, I don't know, eating sandwiches, something, you know, whatever.
That's you.
This rungs down.
Those are your Maslow hierarchy of needs?
Yes, of course.
Got it.
It at top.
Yeah. SEC football, though. That's all you need.
I'm sure it's good or whatever, but it doesn't matter. Whatever. Right. Who cares? There'll be another one next year.
Yeah, I don't follow it too closely either. It's just like when it gets to the end of the season, you're like, okay, these are the best teams. All right. Who's going to the NFL? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a wishy-washy relationship with football anyway.
Yeah. You know,
it's like, yeah. I'll watch
it. Plus, like, it's like too late in the year. It's like, oh, the Heisman was at some point in December, and then there's three games, and then it's like January 12th? It got to be on New Year's or some shit.
They've stretched it out quite a bit.
I can't.
For sure.
I only have so much attention. But what I was saying is that in terms of acclaim, self-congratulatory importance, gold statues, the Oscars, they're coming, dog.
Oh, yes.
They are I guess in 3 or so weeks or whatever, but all of the greatest films from this past year, performances, and other work behind the scenes, editing, cinematography, costume design, sound design, all that were announced this past week, DJ. And I believe, as you are a cinephile, there were some snubs. There were some snubs, and there were some, I don't want to call them, not racially Oscar so white-esque disappointments. For most of the announcements, but it feels as though, and what my biggest takeaway from it is, after 5 or 6 of like years of potentially people being upset about nominees and the meaning of diversity in these spaces, whether that means gender diversity or representation diversity or sexual orientation diversity, it's more like the ease that some of these films, which are just like, yeah, that's a good film, gets selected versus some of the performances or other films that were amazing get sort of lost in the sauce because maybe, I don't know, so-and-so executive at Paramount was like, oh, yeah, Jojo Rabbit. That was great. And, you know, it makes you feel like, who's really watching these awards? The Critics' Choice Awards were just last week, so you're like, you're getting this comparison between these things, and it's like, how do we... And it's funny, everyone talks about DVD screeners, which is, I can't imagine, is the best way to do this shit anymore. How do we get people to see what's out there and give it equal footing? Because the only film that I feel that is, I guess, in the quote-unquote diverse category that's been getting love, but still no love for his actors, was Parasite.
Of course.
So just to run through it really quick, or you want to run through it? You want to give us our nominees?
Sure. Best Picture. Just for Best Picture, Are we going to do the entire Oscars?
No, should take a while longer. No. We're going to do Best Picture.
Just Best Picture.
We'll talk about some other things.
Ford v. Ferrari.
Yes. Which you saw?
No, not yet.
I did not either.
All right.
Continue.
The Irishman.
What you saw?
I have.
I have saw as well.
All right. Shout out to Netflix. Democratizing.
Okay.
Jojo Rabbit.
No.
No, I haven't either. I hear it's a subversive film, like a weird dark comedy about Hitler.
Mm,
I
think. Yeah. Fun.
Taika Waititi, the director of Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
And a few Mandalorian episodes.
Yes, indeed.
Right.
Another trope, by the way, World War II, white people love. Continuing.
Yes. Also an older demographic.
Yes.
All right. Next up, Joker, Todd Phillips.
Which you saw.
I have not.
You have not seen?
Not yet.
Wow.
I think I'm going to buy it on stream.
Wow. Respect.
I didn't get around to it. Didn't get around
it's
to it.
It's funny.
I'd like to see it.
I assume that you've seen everything, especially shit like that. You've seen it. That's funny. I saw it. Best Picture? Best Actor I get at. Little Women. Or as
Greta Gerwig.
As I've heard on the internets, White Women's Avengers.
Oh, shit.
But not my demo. I can't even get past the title. I'm like, oh, this shit was a book or something. I don't know. Remember Downsizing? Is it like the sequel to that shit?
I don't know.
But it's also Children of Men plus Downsizing.
Nah, don't desecrate. Yo, Children of Men, man. One of my top five all time, man.
I haven't seen it. I've heard his heat.
Crazy.
So many.
Incredible. It's an incredible film.
Is it fucking Clive Owen in it?
Yes.
Is he frantic?
Wild Rant.
Yeah.
This nigga's jazzed up.
I fuck with Clive.
Yeah, okay.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Flames. Saw it.
Heat. Absolute Heat.
Tarantino. Marriage Story.
Wait, Worthy? Of Best Picture?
Once Upon a Time?
Yeah.
Relatively speaking, within this movie, yeah.
Okay. Marriage Story, you seen it?
No, not yet. Still on the Netflix queue.
Indeed.
As a newly engaged person, as a person in a relationship, watching some shit like this is a little contentious.
Just, don't do it. Okay. I can watch niggas fight for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, maybe me and my partner have to watch it separately.
But I will say, stuff like this makes me frustrated in terms of Best Picture. It's like, so we just watch two people get divorced? All right, cool.
Maybe it's a good story. I hear the performances are good. Your boy like, Kylo Ren is in there.
But it's like, crazy. In terms of, the story, the Best Picture is like, this is a... Could a story about two black people getting divorced get Best Picture? I don't know.
Wasn't there a movie like that?
What's the shit with Beyonce?
Weren't you obsessed?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
The companion piece of this, which is obviously anachronistic and not an actual companion piece, but if you watch it in tandem, just like I like to watch Joker and Parasite in tandem,
okay.
Marriage Story and. Denzel and Viola Davis, James Baldwin shit.
Oh, Fences?
Fences.
Yeah, that's...
Watch those together.
That's solid. All right.
Raise your baby.
All right.
1917.
Oh, you skipped...
Parasite.
I'm sorry, I
can't.
Damn,
Parasite.
Disrespectful.
Parasite.
That's my pick.
Fuego.
I'm telling you now, for Parasite.
And the only non-English language shit to be on here. That's how much heat.
Flames.
Emanating. The aura is purple.
There's context behind that as well that we can discuss right after this. But yeah, my pick. And lastly, the new recent movie Sam Mendes is 1917.
Letting y'all know, World War One is in y'all.
It's in y'all. The Great War.
Fuck Hitler. It's all about trench warfare and mustard gas.
Oh shit.
And disillusioned young men.
Franz Ferdinand.
Yes.
That whole thing.
Archduke.
Right, nobody thought they were going to go to war until they kind of just all slid into an international conflict.
Mm-hmm. Yo, DJ, we got a guest on the pod.
Oh, yeah.
You know we do this.
Long time. Short time.
Short time?
Maybe. Oh, yeah, no, we did just have one other day. Okay, yeah,
we
back.
Heat, bro. All
right, we warming up 2020.
So, we want to welcome onto the pod. A linker? I don't know what to call it, like what we call our guests nowadays, but...
Everybody has been ported into the Nets Navy for the time being until we find a better name.
We're holding pattern. We're flying in the Nets Navy holding pattern. And today, founder of The Blacklist, film aficionado all the way around, Franklin Leonard. Listen up, y'all.
No, I mean, look, I was overwhelmed, frankly, by how positive the response was to the article, right? Like, it's never a bad thing when Ava DuVernay says that something that you wrote made her smile and slap her knee, and Mark Harris said it's the one thing you should read about the Oscar nominations. Like, I genuinely don't know how to respond to that. It's far, it far exceeds any dream that I had for this little thing that I dashed out in the 2 hours after the nominations that morning. And I think, too, what's sort of great about satire as a structure, and particularly what I was satirizing, was that if you responded in anger or responded by saying, well, these movies didn't deserve to be nominated anyway, you know, but the ones that were nominated did, you kind of reveal yourself to be the person that I'm satirizing. And so I think that, you know, there's not much of a response to what I was saying that holds much water, because it's just an imagining. Like, why are you so mad about a fictional universe where a bunch of people of color and women get nominated? Like, it didn't happen. Like, are you so pressed about the possibility of that that even someone suggesting it in their imagination causes you stress? Like, what does that mean about where your head's at? It's no different than the racism and sexism that affects every other aspect of American life. And it's why it's harder for women and people of color to get their first representative. It's why it's harder for them to get their first movie. It's why it's harder for them to get their second movie. And then even when they do manage to get a movie made, they traditionally don't have the financial resources to execute it at a level that the Academy traditionally recognizes as being awards worthy, despite the fact that the craft on display oftentimes is. The focus on the Oscars, the focus of Oscars So White as a hashtag or directing category so male, is not because what we need to solve is making sure that a few people who are already very well off get to carry home trophies every February. It's because that is the time of the year when the industry is most visible. And, you know, concepts like one person of color was nominated in the acting categories and only one woman has been nominated as a director in the last decade are a lot easier to understand than 90% of the studio movies that are made each year are directed by men. So the Oscars are the focal point, but they are the focal point of a much larger problem. And if anybody thinks that, you know, a change to who gets the Oscar nominations and awards is somehow indicative of the industry as a whole has changed, is roughly the same as saying, well, America elected Barack Obama, we must have solved racism. And I think, you know, 3 years on from the second Obama term, we are well aware that that was not the case. Part of the problem is that sort of, you know, the default assumptions about what is an awards worthy movie, right? And that's actually, that is somewhat defined by race and gender, but it's not entirely defined by race and gender. But, you know, if someone looked at sort of Portrait of a Lady, you know, which was a small French movie, but, was lauded extensively after Cannes and is one of, if not the sort of best reviewed movies of the year, you know, if we're talking about purely artistic craft, it's difficult for me to understand how something like that isn't classed alongside something like Ford versus Ferrari or Joker. But, you know, we assume that these things that are muscular and aggressive and sort of big canvas, high amplitude are somehow better than things that are intimate about women, about people of color. But no, I don't think there's a scenario. You know, I have a hard time imagining that if a black director walked in and pitched Marriage Story about two black people, same story, by the way, just switch out Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson with Sterling K. Brown and Lupita, or Yaya and Lupita. I think it would be a heck of a lot harder to get that movie made, even with a director, and we have a few now, at the level of a Noah Baumbach. So again, I think that there are just assumptions about what constitutes a black movie and what constitutes an awards movie, and those things rarely intersect. What's notable, though, is that when they do, you know, sometimes awards are won, right? And people are like, well, how can you say that the Academy has these problems when Moonlight won Best Picture? And it's like, listen, just because Moonlight won Best Picture doesn't mean that it didn't have to overcome more obstacles than its peers that were not about black people in order to win. You know, I can start Usain Bolt 10 meters behind a 100-meter dash line and he may still win the race, but that doesn't mean he didn't start 10 meters behind the starting line. I wrote this article that went pretty hard in some ways, even though it was satire and even though it was a sort of fictional imagining. I watched women of color in particular, but specifically women of color, take an order of magnitude more abuse for saying significantly less than I said, significantly less aggressively, because that's just the reality of being a woman and a woman of color online, where I, as like a straight cis dude, don't have to deal with that because people aren't going to try to come for me because, you know, I'm a guy. I'm a huge fan of Bong Joon-ho's. I think The Parasite is, I hate the word best, but it is the movie that I expect will stick with me longest from this calendar year. I think that its treatment of class could not be more relevant in 2020. And I would very much like to see it receive as many accolades as possible, both because of my personal subjective belief in its deserving those accolades, but also because of what it could mean for opportunities for foreign language films, for directors and actors and creators of color going forward in the Academy. And I would also be pretty psyched to see 1917 do really well. Like, dream scenario would be like a tie in the director and best picture category between those two movies. That is my personal opinion. It is not like a statement from the Blacklist or a belief about what the industry should do. It is just me, a guy, Franklin Leonard, an associate member of the Academy, saying, I love that movie. I want to see more movies like it. And I'd love to, you know, be able to celebrate the industry giving an award and hopefully multiple awards to a cinematic accomplishment at that level. I'm cynical as hell. But I will say that the affection and admiration of that movie is unlike virtually anything I've ever seen, like within the industry in the 17 years that I've been in the business. So fingers crossed, who knows what that means substantively. But, you know, it would be a nice tonic to Green Book.
I feel like I haven't heard too much about Best Picture in general, about people getting snubbed. I've heard a lot of acting.
Complaints
about that. And for me, in terms of, I guess, the development side, which it makes me like, I'm always like, how did some of these things get made and then get to be championed as like the best films of the year? Because it's a particular taste, right? These sort of like prestige films, they come out at the end of the year. They are these unique takes that particular script writers felt were interesting and got developed into these unique stories.
Right.
And then I think about the people that didn't get to make these stories. And the one film I did hear people felt was snubbed as the best film was The Farewell.
Okay, so, right. About the... What ethnicity are they? Think Chinese? Or?
Chinese, Taiwan. I mean, which is Loki's
name. Right, and the... well, that's what China wants you to think. Right?
Well, I mean, who's the original China? All right. Okay. Chinese Taipei. Right.
That's the grandmother that's passing away or something, right?
Yes, and then she goes back to, yeah.
I haven't seen it, but I remember watching the previews at some other movie, and I was like, damn, shit. Yeah. Seems powerful.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, Awkwafina.
Whispering, Awkwafina.
And then the grandmother also to be nominated. So, but like, so that story, when I think about the stories.
How about Avengers? That's not up there.
Okay, but that's the whole thing, because Martin Scorsese said that can't be.
That's not cinema.
That's not cinema.
Fall back. We could definitely take off again Jojo Rabbit.
But like, that's what I'm saying. It's like this sort of, the quirky, the tale is a particular taste that it gets lauded. Because the idea of Ford versus Ferrari, which ended up making money. I was ready to shit on that.
Yeah, or that one too. Ford versus Ferrari.
I was ready to shit on that heavy when I first saw the trailers. It's like, white dudes like cars, fuck with it. Okay,
yeah,
fine.
I mean, I like cars too.
But I'm just like,
that's a smooth, you know.
But so?
That's a smooth stream watch. That wasn't must watch cinema. I mean, albeit sound effects aside, apparently it sounds great. But yeah, now that you say that, actually, I would keep JoJo input. If we want to be like inclusive or whatever,
and to be,
you could do The Farewell or put, like I said, put Avengers up there.
And to be facts, just be completely just open about how I feel about what shouldn't be on here. Irishman, come on, dog. Like,
I mean, that's just so much.
That's just like
in the package that was bound to be up there.
Just because of who's in it. I get it. I get it. But it's just like, This is how many times he made this movie? 8 times?
1.5 solid times.
So what do you talk about?
So that's why the movie's 3 hours, because it was like one movie and then the other.
No, I mean in terms of like, oh, the Goodfellas. I'm just like,
Casino.
I'm just like, all right.
And there are a couple of homages there to The Godfather.
And it's great. It's great, but it's like.
That was going to be up there. I wasn't surprised by that.
I'm just like, okay. And Joker, which is like a great character acting job.
Right. And that movie is huge. That movie made over $1 billion.
Yeah.
So
you had that and Avengers in the same. I don't know if that's going to.
I don't know, but they take up like different lanes. But all this said, the larger context is, unbeknownst to casual viewers, this is a highly political process, even when it comes to the nominations. And it goes into a different gear from this point going onwards towards, awards night. So to even make it up to this point, there's been a lot of, ads. Screeners being sent out, back end lobbying, a bunch of cocktail parties from these major studios and whatnot. And you know who was the lord of this for quite some time?
Mm-hmm.
Your boy, go ahead and say it, you know.
I don't know. That's why I'm looking for you to tell me.
He's been charged in 2 states.
Only 2?
Yeah, if it, like by state charges, yeah.
Grabby Harvey?
Horny Harvey.
Horny Harvey. I couldn't think of anything clever enough. I was just trying to get it. I was like, my rhyme muscle.
Yeah, man. Harvey Weinstein was like the king of this shit, of lobbying on behalf of his films for going on, what, like 30 years or so.
Right.
And as we were saying, that they'll get you up to this point of being nominated, and hopefully if you continue to lobby on, you will get the prestige of being able to raise that golden trophy. And I think the Oscars is probably the last remaining like real award show of any like real prestige.
Yeah, Grammys just gave that shit away.
Yeah, Grammys just kind of washed away. I think because the Oscars, they have tried to change their model and their voter makeup
openly
over the past years. Over the years, realistically, and. Largely speaking, their taste has been, plus or minus a couple of snubs every single year, which is to be expected. There's still a it does point towards a generalized taste level, although it is representative of a kind of a self-selecting crowd.
Right.
So, the studio execs and the all the producers and all the people from the special effects and screenwriters and actors guilds and whatnot, they all contribute into the nominations and the selections of the movies, right?
Exactly.
Right? So
the Academy.
The Academy as a shorthand, right? Of motion picture arts and sciences.
Yes, both of them.
Right.
Arts and science.
Art and the science of it. So that's why you see certain films falling off on the margins, because they may have one film in particular may have a big cohort of special effects fans, like Avengers might get a lot of love from special effects people.
Right.
But the screenwriters guilds and the actors guilds or the directors guilds or the producers, well, maybe the producers, but those other groups, they may not be as hot on it. So therefore it doesn't quite make it all the way up to the level of best picture and things of that nature. So with all that said, even if we were to go through some of the rest of the options, the categories, my biggest fear, although I feel for sure that Parasite was the best movie of this cycle, I don't think it has enough institutional juice for the people that are pushing it to realistically win much, if anything.
Well, I will say, one thing people note is that every Best Picture winner has won film editing. So it got nominated for editing.
Okay.
So that is a hopeful thing. But I get what you're saying. It's sort of about the institutional juice and the people behind these things and how these things are voted upon. Because I think in terms of the acting thing, which I found funny, is like Cynthia Erivo for Harriet. Yeah. Which is like, nobody fucked with that. Nobody liked that shit.
Right.
And it's like, oh, okay, diversity.
Right. Black woman played a former slave.
Great.
That checks off the box.
And it's like some of the stuff that people keep talking about and things, the films that I saw that it takes me back to sort of like 12 Years a Slave. And
yeah, of course.
And the thing where my man actually acted good for once. What's my man's name? Michael Jordan.
Michael
B. Jordan in Oakland. The kid.
Fruitvale Station.
Fruitvale Station. This was really good. And then it was all about freaking 12 Years a Slave when it's something more modern and poignant without at the same time, which I kind of felt disappointed about. So with that, the Cynthia Erivo thing, which is like great for her. We love her, good for her. But I'm like, damn, Last Black Man in San Francisco was heat. That was real heat in terms of cinematography and the whole world that you're allowing something like a Jojo Rabbit or a fucking Ford versus Ferrari to be in this sort of niche space and exist. Mm-hmm. So it basically feels like they're putting all the onus on this Parasite. Look, we got Parasite in there. Because like even something like J-Lo and Hustlers people are talking about. And,
yeah, that was from the zeitgeist ephemera I've seen. That looks to be the biggest snub.
Wait a minute.
From people complaining on the internet. No?
The God. The Sandman.
Who the fuck is the Sandman?
Adam Sandler, Uncut Gems, dog.
Oh, so that would have been a late push as well. And
so good, son.
There are a lot of variables that exist within this space.
Time being one of them.
And time is a major one. Although, there are a lot of pushes and pulls because we see 1917 is out there nominated for Best Picture.
Right. Just came out, hourly where they talk about this shit in screeners.
Right, so... yeah, apparently Uncut Gems has a big following. The movie was nominated for something, right?
Nope.
Nothing at all?
I got to double check, but nothing here that we see.
Okay, so I'm just most curious as of right now about Best Original Screenplay and editing. Can you check those?
Well, first of all, editing, I was just looking at it here, but screenplay, I know for a fact, my fave of the year, almost my favorite experience of the year in the movie theater for Best Original Screenplay, Knives Out. Marriage Story, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite, and 1917.
Okay. Solid.
I don't hate that, you know. It's just like some of the bigger ones, like directing and Best Picture, just feel like it's... And these acting ones are so weirdly specific. Mm-hmm. Like, both actresses... First of all, Scarlett Johansson is nominated in two different roles.
Right.
Marriage Story and then Jojo Rabbit. But also Charlize Theron and Margot Robbie. Robbie? I always forgot to say her name.
Robbie.
For Bombshell, which, in terms of the zeitgeist, the most stinkiest zeitgeist movie of this year. It's just like... We rooting for the less bad guys. It's like you got the big bad. It's like,
and also the weird, everything is metabolized so much quicker now.
Yeah, that was like a year and a half ago.
I don't even know how the fuck they made the whole movie.
If we call back to last week, I watched the latest Carlos Ghosn interview. He's like, they're like, did Hollywood come calling? He's like, yes, he's ready. He's ready.
Yeah,
starring Danny DeVito. What?
And shout out to this. Aaron Hernandez documentary series that I see that I got like a notification for coming up on Netflix. Like that whole
doc cycle, or like written.
It's a multi part documentary series about.
I mean, that shit was crazy, but it's too soon.
That's all I'm saying. It's not like these are not interesting stories, but there's so many stories and so much imagination out there. You would think that we can apply them in various ways, or artists can. I don't know if it's just going to whatever is the most. What's the common denominator, or the most salacious, or the most part of the cultural moment at the time? But we've seen a couple of products that are just like extremely like right on the nose, and Bombshell being one of them. And that's not even really to say about the quality of the film per se, but just about the
film in this moment,
the impetus of the film.
And why was it made? Why do we like? And I think that it gets back at the impetus of these awards, the impetus of how this whole. Talk about what's best comes into play, I think it's just interesting. If for something like the Bombshell being made, who wants that? And who's gonna have sympathy for these characters? Somebody does, but it's not it's not most of us. So for it to be reflected in these nominations, you're just kinda like, wait, what?
So you had that, and there was the loudest person in the room or whatever, like the bio series about Roger Ailes that was on Showtime or whatever. Not to say that nobody wants those or that story; these stories could have never been told. But like, this shit is like very, very sudden. So, I guess you have that, and then you have 1917. So maybe we're getting a bunch of everything, and we just don't even notice it. But on the whole, I thought the past year in movies and cinema,
and movies,
and blockbusters, was quite good, actually.
Yeah, I'd agree.
A lot of really good movies.
Especially compared to last year, you think about like Green Book. And like,
yeah, you know, I think even from what I hear and know about them, these movies, the few of them that I didn't see nominated for Best Picture, they are purportedly good, interesting films compared to the relatively immediate panning of Green Book. So, you know, that already puts us in a better position. But a lot of really good movies have come out. I mean, you would over here lamenting that both Knives Out and Uncut Gems didn't get as much love as you wanted.
Yeah, man.
You know, I'm already lamenting Parasite not winning everything that is nominated for. So there's a lot of stuff out there, though. Last year you had Brandon pulled up a page like Bohemian Rhapsody and Green Book. People hated
Green.
You know, a couple of just like blah. Okay, so why did Green Book win?
And it's like that winning was sort of the exemplary of the sort of the complaints we're talking about. The right. idea that this film was liked enough to be voted upon in some sort of political atmosphere in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not representative of what anybody really fucked with. And it's right. just like a thing where it's like, okay, this is...
If it were... Is it ranked choice voting? Do you know?
Oh, that's a good question. I should have done a little research.
Yeah, maybe. Because I feel like that wasn't the... I would imagine that it wasn't the unanimous plurality winner of Best Picture.
I'm sure.
But it wound up with, you know, the most votes or most points. So it won. This year, I don't think anybody, there's no like clear favorite. I guess it's kind of like the Democratic primary. you got your right wings, your left wing at the moderate track. I don't know where Parasite
but
stands,
but you're all in on Parasite, all in.
I mean, it was just fire. Like yeah, it was really. Like, I don't know. I can't say enough about that movie.
The most fucked up part about it is everyone, but just none of the actors got nominated.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. So still fucked up. But all of their performances were great. So even down to the little boy who thought he was an Indian, they were all like just fire. So. Hopefully they take home one of the larger prizes, including Best Picture. But I can't call it right now. When it comes to black films,
quote unquote,
black cinema or black actors and actresses,
come on, they're movies.
Movies.
Black. There's a difference. Okay. No.
with any glaring like was anything missing? I know what's her name. Lupita for us that was a missing. I thought her performance in there was very good.
This idea of two roles and everything.
And you know what? After watching a couple of I don't quite know her ethnic background, but after watching a couple of like Nigerian films and whatnot, a lot of them have like spirits and shit in them where people are possessed. I see like the whole thing that she was going for in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that was probably the only real like glaring.
There was a little. On the side is that Lionheart, which is on Netflix. It's a Nigerian film, like their first sort of Nigerian big film. It's about like a family that has a bus company and a woman becomes the head of it, blah, blah, blah. But it didn't get there was this issue with it being whether being nominated for best foreign film because it's in English. So that was like this whole thing that didn't get nominated. And it was kind of a thing. So, and it's like, what does that mean? Blah, blah, blah. So that's a sort of thing that happened. But I don't, outside of the thing with us and Lupita, I don't think there's been much further about that. I really sort of the way Asian representation is coming into play between Parasite and then what The Farewell did or did not get has been a big thing. But hopefully, you know, you see some heat. Parasite wins some awards and should be a good award show overall.
Yeah, any favorites for you in any category?
Well, I mean, as you know, I fucks with Knives Out, big Knives Out gang. I didn't get.
Still haven't seen that one. Yeah, it's out there.
Oh my god!
I'll just like spend a Saturday sneaking around a movie theater catching up.
You gotta do that. I mean, I'm all in on that. I like, Joaquin for Joker. His acting was great. One of my favorite picks for actor in a supporting role, Two Popes, Anthony Hopkins.
Shout out to Netflix. Netflix is really I guess when you pour billions of dollars into some shit, like,
I mean, it's all that's all they do. So I can respect.
Right.
And then also Jonathan Pryce, two popes. Two popes was some heat, boy.
I got to catch up to that.
Because you just want to see two motherfuckers act at each other.
Hey, man, you can do it. Good.
And then, like, I mean, I like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I like sort of, I like the writing in that. I mean, there's a lot of films. Also, oh, one more thing before we move on, DJ, in terms of black film. Now, this is hot in the world. People care about this in terms of the animated world in shorts, though. Hair Love.
Hair Love?
Getting a lot of love. A short animated film. Black dude doing his daughter's hair. The guy, like, crowdfunded it. I want to say Matthew Cherry. A lot of big love for that. Got nominated Best Short Animated Academy Award for Hair Love. The premise sort of like the hair is real, and then the rest, everything else is animated. Ooh. On like it, so it's like a nice visual effect.
Cool.
Shout out black people.
I mean, we both saw The Last Black Man in San Francisco. That movie was a more smaller, insular film, so I'm not surprised that it didn't get, like...
Maybe they didn't have the
push. I mean, it was A24, so... They do have a bunch of fucking film.
They gave up and...
They reserved it all for, like, Little Women or whatever else. The Marriage Story, you know, whatever shit they got. So, them...
But cinematography for that, I'm like...
Yeah, that, of anything, I could have saw it getting nominated for cinematography. Us, beyond the Lupita performance,
I agree.
It was fine, but it wasn't fire like that. Well, at least, especially compared to Jordan Peele's other work, being Get Out, which was nominated for a bunch of stuff. I don't know if it actually won for anything a couple of years ago, but there was that. And the only other black, you know, film that was getting Oscar buzz was what, Dolomite Is My Name.
I was about to just say that, Dolomite.
Yeah, but then, like, you know...
It just kind of felt like, we fuck with you, Eddie. That's what that desire was. Yeah,
that's when you get in a space of not, you know, you're not as animated by some of these snubs compared to other films. I mean, Dolomite was definitely dope. Probably the costume design.
Nomination. That's definitely a good point.
I believe that was Ruth Carter, but beyond that, I think everything is... It's not as bad as it has been, which is a compliment.
I mean, and also, but to put a bow on it, it's also like, okay, does Scarlett Johansson need two nominations for fucking, like, Jojo Rabbit? Like,
right. I mean, I guess that's just a end result of the voting mechanism.
Yeah.
Now, it would be smart for the overlords of the process to kind of just, even when they get the results, they could still tinker with a couple of the categories to be like, oh... Okay, just because she won the most votes, like, for a nomination, you could just twice. Swap that shit out with the next person. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Because if she fucks around and wins for both categories, people are going to be upset about that.
And especially because it's like, for something arbitrary as awards.
Like, right.
It's just like, whatever.
Yeah, but...
You got one. Be happy.
Yeah. But at least the Oscars is one place where I think the taste levels are approximate across this space. Within the same ranges, it's one of the few award spaces where people can actually come together, and the languages are similar for what people are looking for, or at least you can understand where people are coming from with their voting patterns or what they like, and it's not as dependent on performance and numbers, so to speak.
Obviously, we talked about the vanity of the Oscars and all that, and awards and whatnot, but I want to deep dive. It's kind of a superficial dive, not gonna lie, into another sport that we purportedly care about. We, as in the American people, DJ, you're an American. You know, I don't give a fuck about America. I'm trying to leave all the time, but you have some semblance of American pride.
I wake up every morning to that Lee Greenwood jam. Being American, friendly, son, I'm free. Jets flying over.
Oh man, eagle. All that
crazy.
America's game, America's pastime, baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah. There's a lot of controversy in it lately. And, you know, I don't, as I told you before, my Maslow's pyramid, as you've discussed, it pretty much is just one large triangle with basketball in it.
Yeah.
And a little space for baseball. And, no. Man, maybe that's like in the. Sparingly, baseball sparingly.
baseball is the ultimate check in sport.
It's like, what's happening?
The Yankees are 96 and 62.
That means they got 80 games left.
They got five games. I think three games out of the playoffs. Oh, all right, bet. I'm gonna check back in.
Yeah, I'm gonna see what's going on with them.
Oh shit, we in the middle of the season. Aaron Judge ripped his pectoral off.
Need
maybe
that.
Back at the end of the season. Oh, I'll check in then. You can just check in later.
Yeah, it's not really hitting it with the kids these days, the youth.
Yeah, the youth, it's been deemed a little too slow. Yes. I know they've changed the rules. They basically have a shot clock. Well, they have a pitch clock.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah, definitely.
They got rid of the four-pitch walk, I believe. Did they? Because I hate that. I've always hated that.
Did they get rid of
that? That's my biggest pet peeve about baseball.
You know, I haven't checked in on that. I have to check in on that.
Well, let's check in.
Instead, they just do a symbol now and it should be like,
it's like, just walk. It's like, what are you doing? What are we doing?
I remember I was watching.
It's not 1920.
I remember when Barry Bonds' head was at its biggest.
The GOAT.
And this nigga was just
Roid God.
It was just a monolith. He was just an Adonis out there. He would either only get walked or hit home runs. I swear that's all he would do. So like, he was either gonna get hit a fucking home run.
That was a good time,
walked.
Man. I'm glad that I my youth was a steroid. You know they're doing a documentary on the Sosa and Maguire chase.
Yeah.
They're doing a 30 for 30.
It might be lit.
Like Sammy looking all Pepto-Bismol pink and shit.
Man. Young ghost. But I was only saying that to say
yes.
That was a major buzzkill because the crowd would be mad jazzed up and then, you know, his opposition, they might just decide like, nah, we about to walk this nigga and just be like, they throw the ball fucking four times. It was a waste. So if they chose to just press a button, I think that would be cool too.
Yeah. So in the world of a slow check-in game where you kind of just see what's going on every once in a while, you just can't figure out what the stars are in the league anymore, the endorsements are down. It feels like a pastoral game from, I guess, the 1800s.
I hear it's going very regional, though. It's still a profitable sport.
Yes.
And the local deals are fairly lucrative. So yes. It's far from a dying sport. It's just not as mainstream as it once was.
And my point was to not say that it's dying. But my point was to say that as an old game,
yes,
it has currently been sullied by new technology.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
In the case of all the popping sports that are happening right now, in championship games and football and the NBA going to All-Star games, the 2017 Houston Astros and everybody relating with them, including Alex Cora, who's the coach of the Red Sox, who promptly won the following year, 2018.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Have been slapped with penalties for an elaborate cheating scheme that actually downed our New York Yankees.
Oh, shit.
2017. And essentially having them spy on the calls of the opposing teams during games, and they've been caught and called out to the point where Robert O'Connell in The Atlantic has a piece where he says that basically nobody wants to really strip them of this World Series award. But people are being asked about it, like, how do they feel? Like, should the awards be taken back? Should the, you know, these games that were supposedly won? And I feel like that's the whole discussion in itself with sports, especially with the advent of instant replay and becoming more and more prevalent. Mm-hmm. But it was a whole scheme where they would take pitchers' signs and relay them to their own hitters, which is legal in baseball. If you
catch it,
you saw it, but not by using cameras, which they would take the cameras, record the footage of the opposing pitcher, send it into the dugout, and then they would knock on the walls to let the hitter hear what kind of pitch it was. So if it was a changeup, they would knock. If it was a fastball, they wouldn't do anything.
Motherfucker.
Which is like, come on, son. This is like,
all right,
you don't do this shit in middle school.
Advanced.
I know, son.
God damn.
You got because obviously there's broadcast cameras everywhere, right?
Yes.
So for the fact that you just bring on a camera or record him from the other side, send it into the dugout, they're watching the screen. Oh, he put up the sign for a pitch, and you knock on it, and the hitter knows that quick within the span of, you know, 10 seconds. And I watched a video. Now, as I told you, I don't give a rat's ass about what's going on with baseball, but someone analyzed one of the videos, and there's a video that shows one of the hitters, I want to say it's from the White Sox, pitchers from the White Sox, recognizing that they've caught the sign somehow.
Right.
And you can hear it on the camera. He's like, oh, he's throwing a change up. The guy's analyzing it. I'll find it and add it in the links. But he's analyzing it. Oh, he throws a change up. He's about to sign up. You hear the knock. Doof, doof. Oh, they're not throwing a regular pitch? No sound. Doof, doof. And the pitcher goes up to the catcher. You can see their mouths like, oh, no, I think you hear that? Oh, they're doing something, whatever. And it was crazy that happened live in game. And considering all the scandal that happened with the Deflategate in football and the idea, I guess it's distilled in a way where this is the basic tenet of the game, the interplay between the catcher and the pitcher and the hitter. For you to use a camera live in game to do that is like it's defeating the whole purpose. So apparently everybody is getting fired. Houston general manager Jeff Lundnow out. AJ Hinch, who was I'm losing what he actually did. I want to say he was the manager. Red Sox manager Alex Cora out. Top draft picks 2020, 2020, 2021. The team itself $5 million all gone. It's annoying when you think about the process, the way this goes, because it makes you think of my guy, the God, my favorite college football player of all time, Reggie Bush, not existing in the history.
Just remove this memory.
In the history of college football. And they ask a lot of different people. They asked CeCe Sabathia, who was on the Yankees team, how he felt about it. He's kind of like, yo, it happened. Like, obviously, fuck them. But the way this interacts with technology, considering how much technology is allowed to use in certain sports versus not allowed to use, would it be better if they just, I don't know, hid their signs better? You got to hide from cameras now. I don't know. It's just a weird space with all the things that have become contentious, whether that be rule changes or drugs or funding in college sports, whether or not games and titles can be vacated. But it's like a situation where you're like, what can you do? And for a game that's so, involved with the old school,
entrenched in history and tradition.
Yeah, it's just like it's like honestly the biggest scandal. This is worse than what's my guy Tim Donaghy, because it's like it's internally ruined the integrity of the game via something that people would not expect. People, oh, somebody's betting on a game, okay, but the players themselves are just wantonly cheating. This is like, you know, I don't know if there's a basketball equivalent to that.
Not even point shaving.
Yeah,
cheating to this degree. I don't know. I have to think about that when it comes to basketball, because you can't do as much. Basketball is
fluid.
It's a fluid sport. You can't
It makes you think of like in an NFL, where I guess the idea that this is happening is more prevalent, because you see the guys holding up, they're covering their mouths and they call plays, they cover their mouths up, or the thing where they have the absurd the pictorial signs. It's like duck upside down ice cream.
Right. LSU had a bunch, or Clemson had a bunch during the championship the other night with Biggie and ducks and a clamp, all those type of shit. So, I didn't know that it was that
big of a thing. Like, they were really considering like vacating the World Series.
Yeah, I get the other side of the argument though, I guess the management or the leagues as a whole always strive to maintain the integrity of their sports and individual games, competitions. But you will always have teams and players trying to find a leg up.
Right.
So was there any specific rule in place disallowing for the recording of signs and whatnot?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, so
via technology, yes.
Okay, so if it's black and white like that, then, you know, that's a pretty bad look, and it's more than just having these people fired, because they did fuck around and win the championship, and they've been in contention ever since then. They just lost the World Series to the Nationals last fall. The same Astros team with a lot of the same players. I know that very well, because Jose Altuve hit a fucking walk-off run against Aroldis Chapman.
And he's nice and everything, but they've been like sort of bloviating the past few years over the Astros and how they built this team and what that means. And it's kind of like, all right, sure.
Right, so that goes, so now you have to, you know, second-guess all of their actions and all of their success over the past couple of years after this happened. When did this investigation start? You know, did it pick up in the over the course of the last season or after the last season?
It's funny. I've been hearing rumblings, because I don't know the exact time the investigation started, but I know that the investigation with Alex Cora And the Red Sox has been going on as well. So it's like this whole thing has been brewing. But I guess at what let's see that this is at 12:30 a.m. Tuesday. The Dodgers, they said they asked them not to comment on them, but they are not going to comment on what happened, but they don't feel like the discipline was appropriate. Right. So, like, this idea that a lot of these teams, they don't feel as vindicated about this must mean that whatever this investigation began and the length of it, it must have been lengthy enough for people to feel like there's enough evidence where we cannot allow this to not only happen, but act like it's like, all right, it's cool only into the future. I don't know. They want to do some kind of retroactive shit. So I wish I could figure out more about it right now. But it's crazy to think about how extensive it is, considering that it's really affected both teams.
It's affected every team that the Astros have played. You have to play multiple teams to get to the championship. And as I said, they've been in contention for quite some time, for the past 4 or 5 seasons. So but I do know at the same time, other teams have done similar things. There's always cheating controversies and accusations. So I don't know if that muddles or mitigates what the Astros have done here. I don't know to what extent and how successful they were at stealing signs. Because if it was complete wholesale and they can do it just at will, then you know, that's just a completely different ball game where they can just predict. And that's just batting practice at that point, right?
So. Well, I will say this. What I've gotten in my brief research right now about the information, and according to there was a report in Athletic, a few weeks ago, about researching the Red Sox and what they have done in terms of their investigation. So I don't know if the Astros got caught up in that or whatever, but it's been saying going on for a couple of years, and before 2018, there wasn't much investigation of their replay rooms, and they didn't decide to enforce that. You can't use that to steal signs. Mm-hmm. So that was 2018. So I guess that was happening before that. So it's a little murky about what was okay and not okay, but right. It's not okay, dog.
Everybody knows when you're violating the spirit of competition.
KD.
Or the rules. Why you say KD? Oh, when you just joined the Warriors?
It's a violence for your competition.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah, right. So they know, you know when you're getting won over. You know, that if you can't come out in public and show what you're doing when it comes to sport or competition, then you already know that it's probably would be frowned upon in some way. And it's just a matter of, are you willing to deal with it? Or are you just trying to get away with it, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, I'm, as I said with steroids, I'm glad baseball's back in my, you know, my purview, man. Thank you. Thank you, unscrupulous members of the Astros and Red Sox.
Nah, fuck the Astros and the Red Sox especially. Yeah,
dude, Yankees like that. Fuck them.
Yeah, no, man. Yankees been trying to play it clean over the past few years. We're just at the cusp.
I know. Aaron Judge wouldn't do something like that.
Of course not.
It's good, good, wholesome.
Racially, ethnically ambiguous angel. Yes. Aaron Judge.
A beige angel. Yes. Love him.
He took the mantle after Jeter.
At the Jeets.
Say less.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I take strong umbrage to that. It desecrates the game, Brandon.
It desecrates the game and also desecrates the meaning of competition.
Yes.
Beyond baseball, this is how their announcers are, right? That I decide this.
Yeah, they all have mustaches. You know, they're all like very haughty types. They all just come out the womb looking 40 years old. It's an old time game. So, you know, the I know they don't feel good about that about even having to report on this. I guess the last hot thing like
it's
this was
putting
like
a stain on it and everything. It's the stain on the league.
Stain on the league. It takes it back to the Black Sox.
I mean, it says that in the article.
1919 Black Sox.
Yeah. Brings it up once again.
Right, but they threw the World Series for money. Right?
Yeah, for the bread. Right. Respect to them, yo. Respect to them.
That's more cleanly corrupt.
And you know what? It was also during World War One, baby. It's hot. World War One is in, baby. let's revisit. And the nice fire influenza doc coming out. It's gonna, you know, that period, man. You know,
roaring 20s, Spanish flu.
Yeah, baby.
Oh man, How many was
that? Bad Bitch? Spanish Flu.
Spanish Flu. Spanish Flu killed like what? How many millions? A lot. A lot of niggas.
Quite a few. Can we talk about real competition?
Oh, like clean? Is it clean?
I don't know if it's clean. I think it might be some roids involved. Okay, or what is the shit? What's the Joe Rogan shit?
I forget. Niggas' brain operating at like a crazy capacity. You could use both sides of your brain at once.
What's this called? Galaxy brain meme and shit?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, knowledge.
DJ. Accessing your pineal gland.
Yeah, the pineal, man. Up in the middle of your head. Your third eye opens like Tien and shit.
Exactly. Damn, Tien was wild woke.
DJ.
He's weak, though.
The most important competition spectacle in recent memory went down this week and culminated in a victor.
Mm.
Jeopardy. GOAT.
Ah, yes.
The greatest of all time series. The most important sports spectacle.
Specular.
Or specular.
What is specul?
it's a German cookie, actually.
Okay.
So it's like speculoos, but
got it. Say less. The goat competition.
DJ, are you a Jeopardy aficionado and/or fan?
I'm not. I'm a casual fan though. Casual viewer. I respect it. I appreciate it.
Is anyone?
It's a time suck.
Not a casual viewer of Jeopardy.
Maybe not, but I mean, if it's on or for. Actually, I'm never channel surfing now because I just have one of these.
Doesn't exist.
Magic TVs that just goes to streaming services. But I still fuck with Jeopardy. Your boy Alex.
It's one of my comfort shows. It's like, oh, it's on. Let me just compare my knowledge with these random white people.
Like, Mount Vesuvius.
Yes, man.
You remember that?
What is this mountain? Mountain. Just give it away. The Greeks say this, but the Romans say that. If it blew up, where would it be in 26 BC? Some bullshit like that.
I mean, that line, well, that answer was, what's her name? Rosie Perez and White Men Can't Jump.
Yes, man. Okay. I was going to reference that, but you got to it too quick.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, shout out Rosie.
Because they were like, what the fuck did she just say?
Mount Vesuvius.
And so they all like, they went to the judges and shit, and it's like... All right, it counts. It's like, yeah, it's lit. And she was out to go. What is a quiche?
Yeah. I make a bomb one. The Jeopardy Go Tournament, man, it got better ratings than both the finals and the World Series. Take that, baseball. Should have been cheating.
Shit, these niggas probably cheating. They probably got a chip in their brain.
I mean, potentially.
They talking to Watson. You see they were too scared to put a Watson. They didn't have... IBM Watson machine?
It wasn't ready.
Nah.
They gotta give it. I don't have useless knowledge.
Watson responded like, I knew you guys were some bitch ass niggas. It probably doesn't even sound like you know, like.
No, it sounds like a sexy British woman, right? Hello, I'm Watson. Yes, I'm androgynous. It's the future. 2020, get with it. DJ, man, I just wanted to show love to this as my guy and current friend of the pod, writer, Brian Barrett says, it's a singular event. It may never happen again, and it's never happened before.
Definitely not in its current rendition with Alex Trebek and yes. With these characters that they have, the three most successful Jeopardy contestants.
Yes.
I was only familiar with Ken Jennings, right, because he was a national phenomenon in, what, the 90s?
I don't even want to say back
then. Or early aughts?
Yeah, the aughts sometimes.
Okay. And this new douchebag guy that was apparently a dick?
Yeah, James Holzhauer.
Yeah, him.
Brad Rutter, who was actually the earliest, late 90s, early 2000s. Then Ken was the man.
Okay.
He was hot. He had the longest streak. Mm. Brad actually had the most winnings, and that was before that you could just be on there continuously. And then James Holzhauer, who used, which is also ruining my MBA, analytics to... game Jeopardy by going to the bottom of the board, getting the highest numbers, and then also looking for daily doubles. So it hurts me that's how he manipulated the game, but he's up there. And you had three goats competing in a new format where you could play two games back-to-back, your winnings double over, and whoever has the most winnings after two games wins a round. First person to win three rounds is the undisputed goat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Slit.
Won by the GOAT, Ken Jennings.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He took the dub.
Like the sweat off my brow.
You have to. I'm just impressed that something that's, I want to say, from the 80s that began.
Yeah, the only
yeah. Thing,
before that was what, like quiz show.
I mean, they had quiz shows. The quiz shows were hot in the 50s and everything like that. But it, this legacy of a show which I love and appreciate, still hot in the streets. The game shows still hot. The way we interact with TV now is a little weird, a little iffy, as you said.
Yeah,
all encompassing apps, and people made this appointment viewing. So shout out to Jeopardy, man. Shout out to Jeopardy.
Yeah. So is this appointment viewing?
I mean, it was before it is. Off.
So have broadcast networks kind of caught up to like ephemera and tried to record it in some fashion? Like, can I go back and watch this bout of the goats?
Well, when I watched it, I watched this bout on an illegal YouTube recap.
Okay.
And it was fine. Mm-hmm. You know, they had it in the 3/4 at one point, but then you had to bring it back out, you know, to evade YouTube. But I watched it and I enjoyed it. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do reruns or some shit. I don't have ABC. But I appreciated it, and I appreciated the idea of the game. They game Jeopardy. They sped up that final round. Mm-hmm. They made it so the clues were be mixed up a little bit. So it gave it a little verve, a little cachet that I hadn't expected from the game from a while. But I love that it was a big event, and hopefully there'll be more big, I don't know, TV events in this sort of way going forward. And James Holzhauer was a dick. He continued to be a dick. He was shitting on Brad the whole time, throwing him mad shade. Oh, you're losing over there, Brad. Oh, meh, 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 meh,
meh, meh, meh. Catch up, punk.
basically. But eventually, Ken Jennings won, so fuck him too.
Brad? Or Ken.
No, fuck James Holzhauer.
Oh, bet.
And much love and respect to the god, Alex Trebek.
Yeah, man, still fighting on. Has he started to go through cancer treatment?
He has, and he's been out, said he was better, 79, stage 4 pancreatic cancer at the beginning of this year. So he says he's not stepping down anytime soon, but not only him, but the producer of Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, 25 years, Harry Freeman, he's stepping down too in March. So it's like a change in the guard, man, with like this thing that has been, I don't know, one of the most important sort of syndicated TV. Because we don't really talk about that sort of TV.
Right.
Sports shows. I think about Inside the NBA, what happens when that will leave. And it doesn't get talked about in the same vein as these prestige primetime shows. So like I gotta show love to Jeopardy. 15 million people on average each episode. Damn. One of the GOAT shows that there ever was, man.
I believe you're going to see Bad Boys for Life.
Oh. Oh.
This weekend?
Oh.
Are you?
A good tag. I believe we are.
You know what? I am. I think I've
already. Oscar talk.
You know, I've already expressed my apprehension about this endeavor.
Yes.
And the things that I've seen after the fact have added on to that apprehension.
Really?
One being Martin Lawrence being interviewed in GQ and saying he was waiting on the script to be right in order to make this film.
That's not ideal.
I don't know. I don't know about that. And just by looking at the title of the film.
For Life.
Shouldn't that just be reserved for the fourth iteration of the movie?
I love how you feel like we would get that. We would get there.
Right. But
this is reserved for the ultimate.
Could it not just have been Bad Boys 3 and then Bad Boys 4 Life?
It's never happened. Basically, they were like, this shit has never happened again with that title.
Exactly.
Mike Lowry is getting, he's getting popped, man. It's over.
Oh, at the end of this one? There are a lot of
people. Catch a slug to the head.
He got shot in, the second one, right?
No.
He shot in the ass?
Martin got shot.
Oh, okay. Mike Lowry didn't get shot.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
But come on, Mike Lowry's dude. He's actually, like, probably a super villain in Miami. You think about, like, how many motherfuckers he done killed and all kinds of shit. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, he's got a wild contract on his head.
Nah, I mean, what? The Haitians are going to get him back from Bad Boys 2.
Yeah.
Coming back.
Coming soon. So I don't know, man. I don't feel good about it.
I've heard good things.
That's good.
That like it's proficient and a good time, which is all you can expect.
Okay.
I watched, what's the thing called? before we like finish, Honest Trailers, and they were kind of, they did the Bad Boy series briefly. When you talked about marketing, I wanted to say that I feel like it is being, for me, in my internet hole and whatever algorithm they have for me, it's being over marketed.
Oh yeah,
I haven't seen posters and all kind of shit, but I have seen a ton. They were on Breakfast Club. They were on Sway, and Will Smith. Smith was rapping. They were they on were. Some other. I want to call it Unilad or something like that. I don't know what that is, but they were on that doing a "How well do you know each other?" And you found out they don't know each other at all. Oh, just like, oh, you don't know. Like, what's Martin's kid's name? He's like, Smitty,
Willie Jr.,
Lil Martin, and I was like, oh, and the Honest Trailers, which I thought this is definitely a sponsored one, like you could feel it. But they were talking about some of the jokes and things like that, like, oh, this aged as bad as a Michael Vick jersey, and because he's like wearing a Michael Vick jersey most of that movie, Bad Boys 2, and then his shots, and then all the gay jokes, and just like everything. I'm like, ooh, yeah, that's true.
It's a product of its time.
But, you know, shit, I'm hiding. I'm laughing. I'm right with it. Definitely product of its time. But it's like, what is it going to look like now? Hopefully, something that I can laugh and not feel completely, like, washed about my memories. And
I'm most partial to BB1, as we'll call it.
Yes, you know. Because DJ's he's a classicist.
That one's a little more cinema.
He's a classicist.
That one's a little more cinema.
I, for one, am a maximalist. DJ appreciates the cinema of a good Freaky Friday trope. I'm Mike Lowry. No, he's not Mike Lowry. Yeah, the great cinema of that stupid plot.
They did that at Wild Long Side.
I forgot about that. Like, that shit is so stupid.
I did like when Marcus was like, yeah, it's me. Mike Lowry. He's like playing himself. That was like, nah, man, classic. But are you ready for this? Somehow they're going to sneak in a China subplot.
Oh, they got to go to China.
Like, yo, we got to go to China to get this nigga. I'm only a
Mike,
Miami PD
Mike,
officer.
Mike, there's a tanker at the port. It's got 800 pounds of cocaine, and they open it up. It's like in Chinese fireworks and shit, and they get trapped in the shipping container. Damn, we in Hong Kong now. Who's going to save us? Oh, we got to connect. Chinese actor.
Some beautiful Chinese woman and shit.
Yeah, man. You know it.
Fucked up. It's coming up.
You know it. Gotta get those China dollars.
It's going to be a solid 18 minutes. Take that tanker right back, right? Wind up on the port of Miami.
Oh, man. That is cinema. Send